Well, that was worth waiting for, wasn't it, ladies? Thank you, Sophia Minicello and Ohana Kindigari. Yay. All right, what's great about Greater Grace? Well, you all know already because you've been enjoying this convention, right? Oh, you want me to talk about my outfit? Okay. Well, all right. Well, you know where I got this, Blessing Boutique. I think it's a nightgown, but I'm just going with it. Hey. What's great about Greater Grace, besides the fact that we've spent this whole beautiful week together, is grace, the finished work, categorical doctrine, being taught how to be spirit-led, body life, concentration as a form of worship, outreach, missions, Bible college, having a pastor teacher, spiritual authority. I'm going to stop there for a second. I said something yesterday, and the Spirit is prompting me to clarify. I said men don't listen to women, and you all laughed. And you thought you were going to make this whole week without hearing about the S word. No, we're going to dive into it right now for a second. 1 Peter 3. In the same way, ye wives, women, be submissive. Oh, don't you love that verse? Definition. From one of the most manliest men, Peter, in all of Scripture, right? The guy who could fling out a fishing net, chop someone's ear off with a sword. I mean, deny the Lord and be restored. A man who knew how to weep. And he speaks to us women. He says, don't, and I'm reading from the Amplified, which is really awesome. Be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate, not as inferior, but out of respect for the responsibilities entrusted to men and their accountability to God, and partnering with them. Definition. Yay, I can stay in my lane and bake cookies and change diapers. And Titus tells me to teach, right? So I can be a teacher. Yay, I'm so happy. If your husband is not saved, he won't be saved by your words. He'll be saved by your actions. We women love love. We love to have lunch together and talk about flowers and shoes. Have you noticed men don't want to do that? It's because they're not designed that way. I have a phone, a wall phone in my kitchen, and people are always texting me on that number. And I don't receive their text. People say, did you get the text? No, I didn't. Because that phone is not designed to receive information in that way. You know, men are designed so perfectly, so beautiful by God, to lead and cover and protect. And they're won by our actions, and not our love, but by our respect. That's their language of love, respect. Okay, that was just a little aside for whoever needed that this morning. All of us. What's great about Greater Grace are publications and learning, this is the new one for this morning, learning the character and nature of God. I was in a Greater Grace branch ministry for over a decade, and then Pastor Schibelli moved here to Baltimore, and he started speaking on the radio about the character and nature of God. And we were like, what? We knew a lot about God. We knew a lot about God. We had sent out missionaries. We were hip and cool. But we didn't know God. And after that happened, like 100 families from our church moved here to Baltimore to know the character and nature of God. Through the preaching, through Bible college, through booklets, through all these things, you can learn not only about God, but learn who he is. Because you get to be with him in his word, right? Our first speaker this morning. When I think of Bev Speedy, the illustrious mom of Pastor Adam Speedy, I think of the word heritage. She and her husband are giving her children and her grandchildren a godly heritage. Pete Wisteria said in one of the afternoon sessions, your kids need to see you serve. Your kids need to see you serve. She and her husband are serving God beautifully. And while she may feel that maybe God has called her to Texas to live right next door to her grandkids, she didn't do that. She's in Cyprus with her husband. So please welcome dear Bev Speedy.
Yay. Thank you. And Kalimera. Good morning. I loved the seeds last night, but I'm not going to throw any. And I am going to put my flag up. There's the island of Cyprus. Pastor Elshan said it looks like a chop. We give the word of God to people, the meat of the word. Looks like a finger pointing up. We point people to the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said, it looks like a guitar. Our praises go up to God from Cyprus. So there it is. And I've got a whole lot of cards here because I really believe somebody here is going to visit Cyprus this year. And we've had a steady flow of visitors. Pastor Toll comes frequently. And we're really thankful for that. But we need more. And believe me, when you come to Cyprus, you're treated like a celebrity. And not only Cyprus, our neighbor is Israel. And then Turkey. We live in the heart of Bible lands. And you could do the whole tour. I'm sure the pastors, Pastor Roman and Pastor Ben, will welcome you. And the group in Izmir will welcome you. And you can walk in the footsteps of Paul. And you can do your first missionary journey to Cyprus, like Paul and Barnabas. So you're very welcome to take a card, pray for us, and visit. You're welcome. And I was thinking, I'm like fireworks, just like so many thoughts. And then I write them down and I try and sort them out, and I don't know how this will come out, like a sausage machine. But I was thinking about Abraham, the man of faith, courageous man of faith, followed God by faith, and that's just like us. We follow God by faith, and we don't know where we're going to land up. I was born in Kenya, grew up in South Africa, then London 13 years, and now I'm doing my practicum, my Bible college practicum in Cyprus, 7 years, and it's amazing. Yeah, we have an interesting journey of faith with God. Really, it's remarkable. And I'm so happy we're next to Israel. That's my other passion. And actually, Cyprus, I was thinking about it this morning. Cyprus is a host nation for many refugees. Lebanese, Armenians, Egyptians, Syrians. There's such a mix of people. And we live in Limassol. It's like a soup. And we really believe that, you know, God said he's going to send out the fishers to bring the Jewish people back, and then he's going to send out the hunters for those stubborn ones that don't. And we really firmly believe that Cyprus will be a holding nation for Jewish people coming back from the West, from this country. And they will be shipped, you know, to Israel. And we pray this way, and we're in prayer groups and so on. And we look at these big passenger liners in Limassol, 6 to 8 of them that have been, you know, after Corona, they're just standing there. And we believe Jewish people will come back to Israel, as God said, scattered, but I will bring them home. And this is the great sign to the nations. And it's right in our face. It's amazing. So we're in the middle of the Bible lands. And another place, you know, Abraham followed God by faith. And he pitched his tent here, there, and everywhere. And actually, we've landed up in a campsite. I call our caravan the tabernacle, in the middle of the campsite. So, you don't know where you'll land up. Maybe you'll land up in a tent, like us. And I was really happy last night. Pastor Shabelli quoted Zechariah 4:6. And when we follow God, we receive His promises, and then we act on them. And not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And we have this up in our community center. And that was one of the scriptures we came here with. And one scripture that's really been speaking to me in recent days. Oh, let me just backtrack a minute. And I really send you greetings from the church. The best church, the best Greater Grace Church, the one in Cyprus. And I love that God gives us a love and a passion for our church and a love and a passion for our mission field, wherever it is, you know, whether we're in our home country or abroad. So greetings from the church. And I better get on to the theme. The Lord, we take courage from the Lord of hosts. I heard someone praying this one day and I thought, yeah, from the Lord of hosts we take courage. And I was thinking about courage, and this is my definition. I read this long ago, and it really, when they said this is the theme of the conference, I'm like, wow, I remember this definition. It's fear on its knees. And I like that definition, fear on its knees, because I was like petrified to come here today. But we get on our knees and we take courage from the Lord of hosts. And and the question, this is what you gave me, courage, are we willing? Are we willing? And I remember Pastor Morley preaching about us being willingnesses. Are we willing? Are we available? And how do we get that? We don't have the five pillars of Islam in our church, although we've got a lot of people who were Muslims, came to Christ. We have these five pillars, and this is how we get it. I don't know, the longer I'm a Christian, the more I realize it's all to do with relationship with God. Through the Bible, prayer, worship, fellowship, and witness, you know? And when we relate to God, it all comes back to relationship with God. And I was thinking it takes courage. It takes courage in this evil, wicked world to be a disciple, a real disciple of Christ. You know, where wrong is called right and right is called wrong. You know, it takes courage to be a disciple. And one verse, I put the Bible on in my car when I'm driving. And one verse that really like hit me right between the eyes recently was, first of all, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And we're living in those days that are really evil, really evil. Doesn't matter where you live. We live on a small island and it's like glaringly in your face once you see below the surface. But it's just magnified because it's small. You know, you're in a small church, everything's magnified. You can hide in a big church. And it's the same like that in Cyprus. But this was the verse that really spoke to me. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And I woke up this morning and I was thinking, I've got 8 grandchildren. 4 American ones and 4 British ones. Only 8 were in that ark, you know, and I really take courage from the life of Noah, his life of faith. Only 8 came in. But you know what? We still sow the seed. We still sow the seed. Maybe more than 8 will come in. And we're in the ark. We're safe. But what about those out there? You know, it's like, amazing. And we follow Christ. In Cyprus, there's lots of fishing boats. You like, I always think of, you know, Christ called simple fishermen like you and me. And he said, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, you know. And we take courage from the Lord of hosts to go out, and we call it, in London, we call it vandalism. Not evangelism, vandalism. We vandalize the kingdom of darkness. And we sow the God seed, right? And we know this scripture, Proverbs 11:30. He who wins souls is wise. You know, it's like we're not the foolish, we're the wise. And we go out with the seed and we win souls. And just recently we've got this like giant map of the world in our community center. And we just put across the top, Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, and I remember Martina and I in London, we used to stand there like, we're not going to fear their faces. No, we're going to take courage from the Lord of hosts. You know, the armies of heaven. So it takes courage to be a disciple. It takes courage to follow him. It takes courage to sow the God seed. Right? And go to people. I mean, I'm really intimidated in Cyprus by the Russians, you know, but we take courage from the Lord of hosts, you know, and it's amazing. We sow the seed. It takes courage to go to Bible school, but we go, and it's amazing. And like Adam said, Mom, we go for the rest of our lives. And it's true. You know, we continue. We continue. And that's amazing. I was thinking about taking courage to say yes sometimes and taking courage to say no. And think about Vashti. He wanted to parade her, you know, for all the drunken men. And she said no. And thank God she said no, because it made the way for Esther to come in to the kingdom for such a time as that. But what about us? We're here for such a time as this. And recently I've really taken courage from looking at, it's called Torchlighters. I don't know if any of you have watched them on YouTube. 30-minute clips, animated clips, put out by Voice of the Martyrs. And they've taken like missionaries that we know, we've read their books, and others that I didn't know. And it's like amazing. And I mean, I watched them over and over, especially when my grandkids come. There's Mary Slessor, Amy Carmichael, Gladys Aylesworth, Corrie ten Boom, and countless others. And these are heroines of the faith. Really, I'm like shocked every time I watch. They were so courageous. They took courage from the Lord of hosts, really, in the face of such adversity and demonic opposition. And I'm really amazed. But then I thought, there's a lot of unsung heroes, like you guys, you know, and many others that we don't know. But you know what? They had a relationship with God. They were willing, and they heard the call of God, and they were available. They didn't just shut God down, you know? And are we willing exactly where we are to wait on God, to relate to God, and to hear his voice say, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men here or abroad, wherever. Are we willing to go? Are we willing to give? Are we willing to pray? Let's just be willingnesses, you know, and it's all by faith. We soul win by faith. We go by faith. We stay by faith. But we have this amazing relationship with God. And it's not always logical. My husband's 72 now. Get up and leave your nice little comfort zone. I remember my first outreach, foreign outreach, was to Israel. It's like, And we went to Morocco. I'm so glad we're in Morocco now, because that wasn't our place. We heard from God, but somebody else heard from God and went to Morocco, and that's amazing. But God had Cyprus for us, so that's amazing. We follow him by faith. And sometimes I really get like, I don't know if you get like this, but we have a high and a holy calling, and it's not just a cliche. Seriously, sometimes I get like, we priests, you know, we bring people to God and we bring God to people. And it's like, it's such an awesome responsibility, you know, but he's with us wherever we go. And it's just amazing that we have this amazing privilege. Sometimes we miss the mark, we miss the opportunities, and other times they're there right on a platter for us and we go for it. We take courage from the Lord of hosts. And like Adam, Pastor Adam says, we just plod on, you know, and in the work that God calls us to. And we camp, you know, when we start getting a bit crazy in our own thoughts, we camp on the verses that he gave us. And this was one verse that he gave us. And he'll always like bring it in when you're just like, you know, wobbling a bit. Mark 10. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now and this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. You're going to get opposition, but it's amazing. That's a sure sign that you're doing the right thing. God is with you wherever you go. And when my grandchildren come from England to visit, and then the children in the church are like, Grandma! And they're looking, that's not your grandma, that's my grandma. You know, I'm everybody's mother, grandmother, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, we do receive so much more when we hear and go, you know. And the last verse I just want to leave, which really spoke to me again, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. We're channels of his blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing, and we bring the ultimate blessing, the blessing of salvation. And I really challenge you to take courage from the Lord of hosts and to have that amazing, vibrant relationship with him, hear his voice, and follow him, and let him make you fishers of men and amazing disciples. And when he says go, go. When he says stay, stay. And that's it.
That was wonderful. I'm so encouraged. All right. What's great about Greater Grace? All the archived messages. I'll start a few and you finish the end. We're baked in the loaf. Oh, you heard that one before. The greatest battle. Thank you. Throne. Oh, beautiful. Last looks, last thoughts. How long has it been since you've heard these? And if you've never heard them, I really encourage you to take some time this summer to go through these incredible messages. If you go to the ggwo.org, go to the messages, go to the archives, there's a message from Pastor Schaller from 1982. So you could start warming your heart and listening to that. So great. Dr. Stevens built an incredible foundation for us. Pastor Schaller's been framing it in. Right? Incredible. We are so blessed. Our next speaker is Jill Dedidis. When I think of her, I think of a diamond. Okay, our light comes forth through our cracked vessels, right? Just like Gideon. But she is like a diamond. And I thought of the verse in Psalm 144, verse 12. Your daughters will be like polished stones, fit after the similitude of a palace. Please welcome our polished stone, Jill Dedidis.
Thank you so much. I'm just really touched to be here, and I'm very honored by that. Thank you. Sorry, I'm an emotional person, so I'll try to hold it together, but let's just pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for every precious heart that's here, and I just pray you fill in with your Holy Spirit and anoint this time and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we had an amazing week, and it's been just awesome being here, and our topic is courage. So, I did a search in what the word was, and so the word is, in the Greek, is tharseo, and what it means is to be bold, to be hopeful, to be of good cheer, of good comfort, and in another place it says warm confidence. So I wanted to see, like, where's all the times this word, tharseo, because there's a lot of words and they're all, like, a little bit close, but this is, like, one of the words, the Greek words for courage. And it's not always translated that way in the KJV, and there's, like, reasons why, perhaps. So three places it was used, and it's really interesting because it all relates to a healing. And one of them was in Matthew 9:2, and it was the man with palsy. And what's interesting is, you know, the man had palsy, they couldn't get access to Jesus, and they lowered him down, so it was like this whole big thing, and, you know, and they had men doing it, and, like, he went through all this to, like, see Jesus and be healed. And what's notable is, at, you know, if we look at it, you know, he was hopeful, right, to go through that, and what did Jesus say to him when he met with Jesus? He said, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you," and he was healed. Next story is the woman with issue of blood. And, you know, from what we've understood, we've seen plays on this. We know a lot about it. And she was, you know, kind of an outcast. She had a very difficult life and a physical ailment that stopped her. And, you know, what she did was a big, big thing. Like, she felt in her heart, like it says, this is in Matthew 9:20-22. And she said, "If only I will touch his garment, I'll be made well." And it's interesting because if you look at that, she was bold, right? The word of the courage. She was hopeful. She did the hard thing. You know, there's a crowd and you've got to get over there. And she wasn't really accepted by the society. And what did Jesus say to her? He said, "Daughter, be of good courage. Your faith has made you whole." So, and then the next story, which was blind Bartimaeus, which is in Mark 10:46-52. And this was a blind man. And as you know, like, he's calling out, "Son of David, have mercy on me," calling out to God. And, you know, repeatedly, and it actually says that they warned him to be quiet. Like, you know, can you, like, hush it down? You know, he was doing the awkward thing of crying out, and he persisted. And then, so we look at him again. Was he bold? I would say yes. You know, by the definition that we have, was he hopeful? I would say yes. Confident? Like, he had many of the things that we would say relate to the definition of courage. And what did they say to him? And this time it was them. It was not Jesus, but the body or the believers or who was around him. And they said, "Be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you." And then Jesus said, "Go on your way. Your faith has made you whole." And what really, I looked at these things and I was saying, okay, they had faith. Even Jesus commended their faith. Like, "You woman, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole." But, and they had confidence and hope, and they were bold, but yet there was something missing for them to be told after that word, have courage. In a sense, they were told, have courage, be of good cheer. So I thought, as a woman, that really spoke to me, because you could have those things and maybe your emotions aren't, you're not getting the another definition for the word of courage is a warm confidence. Like, you could still have the fear of not feeling that warm confidence as you do it, but you have all the other things, right? The faith, the amazing, perfect faith that will heal you. And what I learned from that is that we don't necessarily look to have that emotion. You know, like, that emotion may or may not be there, and that's okay. So, and that plays a lot in ministry, right? Because, as you know, in the ins and outs, that emotion's not always there. Like, yay, I'm just so happy to be there. And so it's like, don't worry about that. Just go by faith and do the hard thing, and you believe and you persist. And then God comes alongside you and will give you that, you know, be of good cheer, and you'll have that feeling. You'll have those times of having the feeling, but in a sense, you don't need it. And what really also ministered to me about was, it's like they had the fear. They didn't maybe feel good as they were doing it, like doing that hard thing, and even people are shunning them down. But there's a time when your vision is like greater than your fear. It's not that your fear's gone. It's still there. Like, they needed to be encouraged even with what they had done. So, but the vision that they had, the belief that they had, if I touch his garment, I'll be healed, was greater. It was greater than the fear that they had. So that's amazing. And then another time that courage was used was in Acts 23:10. And there rose a great dissension, and the commander, fearing less from Paul, they were basically, Paul was in a situation and they felt that he would be pulled to pieces and taken down. So they had to like pull him out, and they said, like, we feel that he will be taken down from pieces, and be of good cheer, because and then God came alongside him and said, Paul, you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you also bear witness in Rome. So, and you know, this is like in the end of his life, Paul fought the good fight, and our lives are a fight. You know, like, we're in warfare, and it, you know, it's funny because they say they feared that he would pull him apart. And have you ever had that feeling? Like, I don't know if you're in a ministry and you have that feeling that it could happen. You know, like, there's just the enemies against you. And I'm going to give a little testimony about Montreal. Michelle was talking earlier this week, and she was saying how there's mega churches, and we were looking for a church. And what's interesting about that was many of the churches that we met, they were like women pastors. They never met. They had like once a week. And we saw, like, sometimes we would check out their YouTube channel. They had like superhero Sundays. Like, they would have people come and dress, like the church would dress up as superheroes as part of the church. And then they would have movie themed Sundays. Like, I feel like this isn't even true, but it was like on Facebook and everything. Like, you'd see the theme, and they would have like, their theme would be like, this is going to be the Lion King Sunday, and we're going to talk about the Lion King and the Bible. And they had like Obi-Wan Kenobi, like one of the pastors was like talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi and talking about Moses. And that's like a guy from Star Wars. And the point of that saying is, is I just, like, what we have is so special. Like, the ministry that we have, it's like, I look at it, and Satan hates that. Like, in this world, as we see more, we go, like, there will be increasing attacks on the true believers. And like, when we are on a Wednesday night, the special things that happen are like, sorry, because I'm afraid I'm going to go over time. That's what I'm like worried about. But I'm trying to figure out the best right things. But when we on a Wednesday night and we all gather in our church and we pray, there's so much power there. And I listen to it's a beautiful time because you hear the hearts of the different people. And I literally believe, and I pray this out, and I say, in all of this city, I truly believe like the most fervent believers are in this room tonight. Like, it's just the power of the church and like being part of a special soul winning church that we have. And all the outreaches that we have and like meeting like several times a week. And like, this is unheard of. Like, we go Friday night soul winning and it's big groups of people, 15 people, like big groups. And we take pictures and we like send them to our team because we have this thing. We encourage each other. And I just know like Satan hates this. Like of all, I really believe like of all the demons in Montreal, like where are they going to go? They're going to go to that church, that soul winning church, that church that's meeting all those times a week, which is like unheard of, you know, in today's day and age. So the important things, you know, and you can have that feeling like you're being torn apart because that's how it is. Like you feel that. You can feel that demonic oppression as you go. And, you know, that's why I'm like, I'm the woman with the issue of blood and I'm going to go and I'm going to believe because I know if I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And it's combined with healing. And that I'm not looking for that emotion. You know, when it's like when you're on a, you know, do you decide, am I going to go to church today? It's like, it's sunny. It's, you know, it's raining. I'm not going to go. Or, oh, it's sunny. Oh, but they maybe I have something better to do. Or, you know, it's 20 feet of snow, like in our town. But it's like, we don't think that way because we already know we're going to do the hard thing. We're going to touch the hem of his garment. We're in, you know, in a season and an out of season. So, just closing in this verse, John 16:13, in this world you will have tribulation and you will have the fight, but be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. And I just say to you, like, make a decision, go by faith. No matter what's happening, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be on that outreach. I'm going to be there. And we, you know, Satan hates it and we resist Satan and he will flee from us. We don't fight Satan like, ah, Satan, throw it at me. Like, you know, we're like, we resist Satan and he'll flee from us. And don't quit. Keep crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Cry out to him. And even if the emotion's not there, you keep crying because it's going to come. He's going to come and comfort you. Take courage if you don't have courage. Let your vision be greater than your fear. Yes, I'm afraid, but guess what? I want to go more than I'm afraid. And then the Lord stands by you and he's saying, you've done it in Jerusalem and you will go and do it in Rome. Have courage. You will do it again. You'll keep doing it because of me. And take courage in that. Amen.
What's next for women's ministry after this? Our seminar in September. And this year we start something that I pray and I believe will be inaugural. You'll come to the women's seminar, you'll get a book. And the book you're getting this year, oh my gosh, we've been working on it for a year and a half. And it's Lisa Sleva that set us in. I know she's not believing this, I'm calling her out. We had thought, oh, we'll do seasons in a woman's life and we'll talk about, you know, when's the spring of your life, the fall, the when you get old. And Lisa said to somebody, well, why don't you just go to Ecclesiastes and call it To Everything There Is a Season? And we went, yeah, we're doing that. We're doing that. That sounds good. There are 28 of those a time for in a season, in Ecclesiastes 3. We have more than 28 women who've written for us. I just got the last essay in. So the book is beautiful. There's going to be a color picture, a devotional by a woman in greater grace. You turn the page. There's 5 questions and then writing lines. You can do this by yourself to build yourself up, or you can invite someone to do it with you, get an extra copy at the seminar. It's going to be so much fun. And the Tuesday Morning Connection here in Baltimore will be doing this book. So if you come to the Tuesday morning, you'll be doing that. What's great about Greater Grace? The Easter play. The Easter play. And I will use that as a broad term for all the creative, out-of-the-box things that we do, right? An art show, having someone over your house to teach them some creative craft. Whatever we do, God is our creative, dramatic God. And he loves to have fun, and we need to have fun with him. And at the Women's Seminar, Friday night will be a play. written by our very own Carolyn Peters. And you're going to hear from her in just a few minutes. But I have her prayer card. It is a permanent part of my encouragement board up in my bedroom. It's a beautiful picture of Carolyn under, I think, a grapevine. And she wrote, "You are never too old. It's never too late. God is moving, and it's all very exciting." Welcome our treasure, Carolyn Peters.
Other woman. Something I never thought I would be. But there I was, in the middle, between two men. One, my father, Laban, and I want to believe he had my best interest at heart, and that it was some kind of love for me. And the other, Jacob, my husband. And so I was there between the trickster and the master trickster. It all happened one night, a wedding night. There was a big party, and we had everyone there. It was for Jacob and Rachel. Eating and drinking and eating and drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. And then in the middle of the night, my father came for me and he said, "I take you. Follow me." I thought maybe I was going to somehow serve Rachel, or he always had some plan. But no, he took me to Jacob's tent, and I thought, surely Jacob will know. But he didn't. Until the next morning, he flew into a rage. He ran to my father, and he accosted him and said, "What is this you have done? Now I am married with this one I didn't want." My father made up some custom, he said. "In our region, you are new here. You don't know. The oldest must be married first." I had never heard such a thing. But Laban, he had gotten 7 good years out of Jacob. And he wanted more. I knew Jacob's passion for Rachel. The first time they met, you could see it all over him. He was in love. Love at first sight, at the well, with the sheep. So, He worked for 7 more years. And he got her, his Rachel. And there we were. One mixed up, crazy, upside down, you call it a family. Now Jacob had the one he wanted, the one he loved. And I was the other one, the one in the middle, not the favorite, not loved. But I was married to Jacob. What to do? What to do? I ran to God. I talked with God. I talked with God. I had it out with God. What is this? What about my dreams? I don't get dreams. I don't get love. No one hears me. And God has no problem with this speech. He heard me. I got pregnant. I was married, after all. And my first son, Reuben, God sees. Then I had another. Seems I had a talent for having children. Simeon. God hears. Simeon. Then the next, Levi. God gathers together. God had a plan. My fourth boy, Judah. Praise the Lord. This is his name, praise the Lord. And then came Ishkahar. God rewards. And Zebulun, God exalts. God heard me. God saw me. I praised the Lord, and he lifted me up. Rachel could not get pregnant. Rachel of the bright eyes and beautiful figure, and Leah of the lazy eye. But she couldn't have children. And in our region, our culture, among our people, this is a curse. And secretly, I enjoyed it. We are human. But she's my sister, and I love my sister under all. So I went to God, and I prayed for her. And God opened her womb, and she knew it also was from him. She called her son Joseph. God gives. Immediately after she got this one, she wanted another, and she got him as well. After her confinement time was finished, she was pregnant again. But we had problems. And I don't mean just Rachel and me. Laban and Jacob and Laban and Jacob and Laban and Jacob and we had to get out of there. And you can read the story. It's longer. You have the book. But in this sorting and the packing and the goats and the sheep and the stripes and the spots and all, we were traveling. And Rachel was so pregnant and so sick. She was not so strong, but this stress from everything was wearing on her, And she became very weak. She delivered her boy. And then she died. But in her breath, her last breath, she said, "I call him Sorrow, Benoni." But Jacob said, "No, that's not the word. That's not the name. He will be called Benjamin, son of my right hand." What a name. We knew great things would come from this boy. Those boys, they were special. I saw them running, playing, running, playing. I thought, they have no mother. They are getting wild. Na 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 na. So I took them for myself, and I raised them. Benjamin, the youngest, so full of energy and his smile. And Joseph, so smart and so inquisitive, and everything he had, questions and needed to know, how does it work and what is the plan and how it goes. And also he had a bit of a creativity in his mind. These dreams. And a bad habit of telling on his brothers. I told him, "Joseph, this will not win you friends." But he continued, and Jacob loved his little informer. He loved him. It was so obvious. He set him up as a 16-year-old boy with this, this robe, like a ruler, of many beautiful multicolors, over his brothers to run the estate. Men. I had my time with Joseph always. And he loved God. I told him, things don't always go the way you think. You might be disappointed. Maybe you will be forgotten. But God sees, and God hears, and God will gather you together with his plan, whatever that may be. And maybe you've heard of Joseph. You know him, ups and downs and ins and outs. But God exalted. You have the book. It's a longer story. Maybe you think, nobody sees me. I'm invisible. You are not. Maybe you think you are unloved or in the middle or unwanted. Think of my son Judah. God sees. And my son Simeon, God hears. And what about Levi? He's gathering everything together in his plan. And Judah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Take from him. Take courage. This is our life.